Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We had just finished reading about how God dealt with the serpent, the woman, and with Adam.
This is commonly called the fall of man, right? God dealt with the serpent, which is actually the devil working through and enticing the woman. And so the serpent is to crawl on the belly, and then he's given the a promise or prophetic word, your head will be crushed. The woman's seed will do that. And then you'll do damage to the woman's seed, but ultimately you're going to go down, okay? And to the woman, you're going to have pain and childbearing, increased pains, what he said, and that your desire will be to your husband and he'll rule over you. Then to the man, it's the ground he deals with. He says the ground is cursed because of you. You were taken out of the ground. So he curses the ground. He says, now you're going to do hard labor. Yes, this is your work but the sweat of your brow now. And then, you know, raising your vegetation and doing all these things, it's not going to be like it was before. This is going to be more severe. And then you're going to go right back to the dirt. You came out of the dirt, you're going back to the dirt. And this is what happens to a person decomposed, right? You go back into the ground.
And in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living.
Now, something to notice here, and I think I mentioned it in one of the sessions, that Adam was not a proper name, but Adam was just simply the definitions dealing with a human being, man. Mm-hmm. And so up until this point, God has called them human beings, or God calls them man. Okay? God did not name the woman. Adam now became a proper name. Now, when it's, you say Adam, you're referring to the man, okay? And so Adam names the woman Eve, and he calls her the mother of all the living, patriarch, matriarch, okay? Of all the living. It's real important to get that part too. Of all the living. First man, first woman. So if that's first man, first woman, there wasn't a first before them. First man, first woman. Okay?
Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them.
So the Lord killed the animals first, right? Mm-hmm. Because he takes animal skins. See, they made fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And God makes skins to cover their nakedness. So, for all the people that are hung up on killing an animal, I have to take that up with the Lord.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.
So now, after God has pronounced the curse upon the serpent, the man, the woman, now God says, all right, because they're like us, to distinguish between good and evil, we're going to have to keep them out from the garden so they can't partake of the tree of life, then you have eternal sin into the world.
Mm.
Okay? And so God sets the cherubim there and he puts a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. So then man is driven out of his natural habitat, so to speak. The place where God placed him to begin with, he's driven out from that. And so he's no longer in Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Now people get hung up with that word Eden. And later on you'll find a city named Eden, but it's not the same, it's not the Garden of Eden. Okay, people talk about the rebuilding of Babylon and all this type thing. But God says that Babylon would never be rebuilt once it was destroyed. And you have to keep things in perspective. You know, just because they're using this name doesn't mean that was the original. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God removes them from the garden. Now, I want you to think about this. What this is where we get the spiritual death, the dying the same day. Because God had told the man, in the day that you eat of, you will die. The essence is, you will die that day. Well, we know he didn't physically die that day, but what happened? He was removed from the tree of life. And so now he's separated from the life provided by God. And that is a spiritual death. Spiritual death is not cessation of life. It's a removal, a separation from eternal life. You follow me? And so God's word was true. In the day he ate, he died from the perspective he was removed from the tree of life. Okay?
In verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which he turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
So humanity couldn't get back into that garden. Because now humanity is in a fallen state. Okay? And there's some things we need to look at when we'll go ahead and go into chapter 4 and I'll bring it out. I'll bring it out then.
Okay. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
So chapter 4 documents the first birth. See, Adam wasn't born. The woman wasn't born. But the Adam was made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
Every human being after that's made in the image of Adam. I'll let you think about that. Okay? And so the first birth and the first murder of man is right there in this fourth chapter in the first generation from Adam. Didn't take sin long to catch up, does it?
Mm-mm.
Adam had sexual relations, obviously, with his wife, and she became pregnant. She gave birth to Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, one of the things you'll find, especially in the Old Testament, is often it doesn't say anything about the birth of women. Okay? But if the man was looking for a male child, the hope was to be the mother who produced the Messiah. And so they give that the masculine lineage because of that, okay? And so we know that Cain was the firstborn son. We know that Abel was the second son.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know Seth was a third son. But I've had this question asked me. Where did Cain get his wife? I said, well, that's a no-brainer, his sister. If Adam and Eve were the first man, the first woman, then the next woman would have to come from Adam and Eve, right? But you don't have documentation of their other children. And even after that, you'll see, and we'll read right here, that they had other children. How many? I have no idea. But in 930 years, you can put some children out. Especially when you figure out their mandate is be fruitful and multiply. Is that not their mandate? So they have an assignment. Fill the earth with people. And so they were filling the earth with people.
Oh my.
That's more profound than you realize. I know it sounds funny, but that's more profound than you realize. They are filling the earth with people. Okay? And so these boys had to have girls to marry because they had children. Male, female. That's the only way you get children. Okay? You want to say anything to that?
Verse 2.
Okay. Leave me out there on the limb. Okay.
Yeah. Find your way home.
All right. So,
and
she says, I've got a man from the Lord, right?
She did.
Okay.
And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Now, see, fast forward for several years. You don't send a toddler out there to keep sheep or farm.
Right.
Right? And so we don't know how many years had transpired before this confrontation, or before these boys brought the offering before the Lord. We don't know. And there could be many children born in that time. You with me? Which would have been female. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord.
So, Cain is a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read into this something that's not recorded. Let the scripture talk to you. And so Cain, somewhere he's been told you offer to the Lord. There's a way to worship the Lord or something. I don't know how all this came about. That's not recorded. But he brings an offering from the ground, which is illegal when you get into the law, which didn't exist at that time anyway. But when you go all those hundreds of years ahead in the law of Moses, one of the offerings you brought was a grain offering, a meal offering to the Lord. And a lot of people say the reason God didn't accept it was because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. The scriptures don't say that. But there is an implication in here why Cain's offering wasn't accepted and why Abel's offering was. If you want to go ahead and read,
yes, sir.
About sure. Abel.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
Okay, so why did God accept Abel's offering and reject Cain's offering? Both were voluntary offerings. We don't see any mandate on them. Cain brought fruit. But it doesn't say a thing about his best. It doesn't say a thing about first. In other words, he's just bringing an offering. But what does Abel do? Abel selects the best of his flock. And he brings his best to the Lord. The Lord accepts your best. God is not interested in just tipping your hat to the Lord. The Lord wants your best. And so this is why the offering of Cain was rejected. The offering of Abel was accepted because Abel gave his best and Cain didn't. We have no record of it. God wants your best, not what's left over. Okay?
I have a reference in Hebrews that we could look at for that.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's look at Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Y'all remember this? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaks. And we're going to see about that here in just a minute.
By faith he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You give your best by faith. And that's teaching in and of itself. You don't say, well, I'll take care of everything and what's left over I'll give to God. No, you give your best to God. And then what's left over will take care of it. If you're living by faith, you give your best. Okay.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
So Cain becomes angry and dejected when God didn't regard his offering. So it looks to me like common sense would say, well, why was Abel's accepted and mine wasn't accepted? Then I need to do what Abel did. What did Abel do that I didn't do? He gave his best. And God gives him opportunity to do that. Want to go on reading?
I do, in just a minute. And this is such an important principle about giving our best. You're going to want to remember this for the test. God accepted Abel's gift because he gave his best. You're going to see that later on your test. Okay, and the Lord said, verse 6, unto Cain, why are you mad? Why are you wroth? And why is your countenance falling?
Why are you angry?
Yeah.
Why are you dejected?
If you do well, you shall, won't you be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him.
So the Lord talks to Cain. He said, if you do what's right, your offer will be accepted. But he didn't do what was right. He says, if you don't, sin is waiting at the door to ambush you. Mm-hmm. Sin's waiting for you, Cain. Mm-hmm. It's trying to take you down. And the Lord encouraged Cain. He said, rule over that desire of sin. Otherwise, you're going to become the victim of sin. What sin's he talking about? He's premeditating on what Abel did, and he's getting mad at Abel. Mm. You understand the sin? The sin is plotting to get even with Abel because God accepted his sacrifice and he didn't accept Cain's. Abel didn't do anything to Cain. This is what happens. This is a principle. You see it all the time. One person does something that's pleasing to God, God blesses that person, and somebody else gets jealous.
Mm.
Well, why didn't God bless me? Why didn't God do this? Well, just listen to yourself talk, and you listen to that old horrible attitude you have, and that's the reason it didn't happen. Get your heart right with God. Get your attitude right. Get your actions right. God's not a respecter of persons. I tell you what God respects is faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. Read Hebrews 11. By faith. That's what God respects. As a matter of fact, the sixth verse of Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's about as plain as you can get it. Okay? Cain's not willing to deal with it. So I get him. Thinks he's better than I am. Sounds like people in the church today.
Yeah. Keep reading. Yes, sir. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
And so Cain confronts Abel. What did they talk? We don't know the conversation. But we know that the end result of that was Cain was angry enough with his brother that he killed him and covered it up, or tried to cover it up anyway. Mm-hmm. This is what happens with people. They don't want to deal with things. They don't want to deal with their own sin. And so even though they may not murder the person, they'll just assassinate their character. They'll do it through gossip or whatever to try to degrade the person and think that's going to make it all right for them. No, it just makes matters worse for you. Because God sees through your facade.
And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
Now, I want you to listen to the smart aleck.
Yeah.
Reply to your creator. Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Like you're going to pull one over on God. No, that's not going to happen. And so he doesn't give God a direct answer, does he?
Mm-mm.
Where's your brother? I don't know. I'm not his guardian. That's arrogance.
Yeah. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground.
No, not interesting. Mm-hmm. The blood speaks.
Mm-hmm.
The blood speaks. It just says, what have you done? Your brother's blood's crying out from the soil. Now, in Hebrews, it says that Jesus' blood speaks better than that of Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And so the connotation is that Abel's blood is calling out for vindication. And Jesus' blood cries out for mercy, doesn't it? But Abel's blood's crying out. And so God deals with Cain.
He said, and now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth.
So because of what Cain did, now he's cursed. And actually it's twofold. He says, when you till the ground, it's not going to yield you a full crop anymore. Remember, he's a farmer. You're not going to get the yield out of the crop that you previously got. And from now on, you're going to be a fugitive. And if you look at that definition, it's one who wavers or vacillates. And a vagabond, that means to wander on the earth. In other words, you're going to be transient. You're not going to be stable. You're going to wander. You're going to be a vagabond on earth. Because of what you've done. So, God did vindicate Abel. God did pass judgment on Cain. Okay?
And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And then he went on to say,
now think about that.
Yeah.
In other words, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So was killing Abel okay? Of course not. And so Cain realized that what he had done, it resulted in him being driven from the place where he was born, and he was going to be a fugitive vagabond on earth. And he had a fear that anyone who found him would kill him. Now think about this. Who's anyone? Evidently, there's some population in the earth. There's more people on the scene. You got to hear what it said, okay?
Verse 15, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him.
I want you to look at the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
The mercy of God says anyone who kills Cain, then it'll be sevenfold times worse for them, okay? And then it says God set a mark. And I've heard crazy stuff on this. God set a mark. People try to tell you what the mark is. We don't know what the mark was. But I will tell you this, that whatever it was couldn't have existed after the flood.
Right.
Because there was no descendants of Cain. You understand? The only descendants from the flood was from Seth. Noah was the son of Seth. Noah had three sons, so that's descendants of Seth. And so everybody else was wiped out. And people get off on these crazy binges on trying to tell you what the mark of Cain was and how it's this nation or that nation. I mean, you can forget that. They don't exist. Okay?
Okay. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
So Cain goes from the presence of God, from that natural place. In other words, he just leaves God. He goes into this place called Nod, which is actually interesting because by definition it's vagrancy.
Hmm.
And it's a place east of Eden.
And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
So Cain's married, right? Cain has a son. And he calls his name Enoch, which means initiated. This is not the Enoch that walked with God. That's a different line. It's not the line of Cain. And you'll see some names are the same. So don't get confused. You keep the lineage of Seth separated from the lineage of Cain. Okay?
Okay. Here we go.
He built a city, named the city after his son, Enoch. Now think about that. Now, I don't know how elaborate his city was. He didn't say he built New York City. He just said he built a city. You know, a city, there's so many people there, the population has to be large enough for it to be considered a city, right? And so Cain is multiplying in the earth. Right? They're filling the earth with people. Okay?
I asked if we were going to read these, and he said, yes, of course we are. So I'm going to read verses 18 through 22, and we're just going to go through this, okay?
Just join her in the pronunciations, okay?
Here we go. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabel, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto, verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt.
So here you see skilled men early on. You understand, God had made man with imagination. God had made man with abilities to do things. And when you look at this, it's not just farming or raising cattle. That was one thing. But it says that Jubal was the father of those who skillfully handle the harp and reed instruments. And then Zillah gave birth to Tubal-Cain. He forged and fabricated brass and iron. Now think about that. So they knew how to work with metal, even in this early time. Okay? What is this, third generation? Adam, Cain, and then Cain's son? Well, you go on down. I mean, it would be more...
Yeah, and then
you would. I haven't counted them.
I haven't either.
It's more than three generations, several generations there. Mm-hmm. But you think about that, how they had developed in these, as you're counting them. Okay, we'll tell you how many generations here in a minute.
Five up into Lamech, and then the wives. Six, Jabel. He was a brother. Seven, Tubal-Cain. Is that right? Y'all counting with me? I got
seven.
Well,
Ada and Zillah was from the same. Their kids were from the same. How many?
I got seven.
Seven?
What did y'all get?
So in seven generations then, you have skilled and developed people, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And then we read about Lamech. I already read that. He talked to his wives, Adua and Zillah, and he said, I've killed a young man.
Now, here Lamech, he tells his two wives, he said, listen attentively to my word. I've killed a young man for wounding me. In other words, I killed a young man in self-defense.
Yeah.
And so if Cain will be avenged seven times, then Lamech will be avenged 70 times seven. In other words, Cain did it out of just calculated murder. I did it to save my own life. Okay?
First.
This is what sin does. It gets people killing people. You see that going on today, big time, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Massacre. Just go in the middle of the night and kill people in bed and cut babies' heads off and all that kind of stuff. That's sin.
Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
Now, we don't know how much age difference there was between Cain, Abel, Seth. We don't know that. We're getting a summarized story. We're not getting just chronological order other than Cain, Abel, and then Seth. We do know that. But you remember reading all these descendants of Cain?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see if we can finish this chapter here.
Okay. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos.
Now, here God, Eve says, God's appointed another son to take the place of Abel. And so she calls this son's name Seth. And actually that name means substituted.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, God's given me another instead of Abel, whom Cain slew or killed. Then Seth had a son, and Seth named him Enos. And it says, at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now note this, that's in the lineage of Seth, coming in the lineage of Seth. This is called a godly lineage. Or the seed of the woman is coming through Seth. Okay? All right. Time's up, so we'll stop there, and then we'll pick up with chapter 5 in our next session. You seeing anything you haven't seen before in all this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just our advantage to really pay attention as we read and glean out of the Scriptures. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week.
Amen.